Today's gospel comes from the 20th chapter of Matthew. Jesus said, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So, the last will be first, and the first will be last." This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks. It was at the Vacation Bible School. They were acting out "Jesus Calms the Storm." The children, dressed as disciples, were getting into the fishing boat. Suddenly, Peter discovered that one of the disciples was a girl. "You can't be a disciple," he proclaimed. "You are a girl." Without missing a beat, Jessica said, "Well, it's like this, Jonah. In the beginning, God made men, but then God had a better idea." Yeah, I didn't hear a lot of men laughing in that one. Pastor Beth pointed that out, that all the ladies are laughing. Well, so part of, I like this text because it gets at some of the fundamental things like we talked about with the kids. What does it mean to be human? I think the kids did a good job of telling us what it means to be human. We do good stuff, sometimes we do bad stuff, sometimes we don't even know. And so I'm thinking about being human and the things that are going on in the world, which are horrible things, and because we are so much more connected, that horribleness comes at us sometimes at an alarming, amazing, overwhelming pace. I still think we do a lot of good things as humans, but that bad stuff comes at us pretty quickly. And so I'm thinking about, what does it mean to be human? And the image that comes to mind for me is in Genesis, in the first chapter of Genesis, where God creates humanity, creates us in God's image. And it's us in God's image. All of us individuals in God's image. We are all in God's image. And that seems, okay, you know, you've heard that before, but I went to the library and checked out this book, A Farewell to Arms, An Evangelical Pastor's Journey Toward the Biblical Gospel of Peace. And the name is Brian Zant. And I picked this book up because he says in chapter 9, and this is the only reason I got this. Well, it was an interesting title, but you know, how does an evangelical become a pacifist? Interesting. But chapter 9, here is chapter 9. The essence of this is what chapter 9 is. There's chapter 9, and the next page is, I don't know if you can see that, what the title is, Us and Them. And then in small letters it says, There is no them. there is only us. And that's chapter 9. There is no them. There is only us. And I think, kids kind of alluded at it a little bit, I think that if we really, really stuck with that, there is no them, there is only us, I think the world would be easier. There is no them, there's only us. And it's hard to make somebody a them, there's no doubt about it. And we have differences, because some people are going to laugh at one joke more than others. So it's not that there's not differences, because we have 100 different people here today. But there is no them, there is only us. And we're all created in the image of God, and the reign of God's mercy and justice and peace and forgiveness and love and grace comes down upon everyone. Because God gives us good things. That's what the kids told us. That's what the Bible says. And I don't like to say that very often, but at least from my reading of the Bible, God gives us good things. So that's part of number one. Now, about our nature. I have a friend who works with Providence healthcare system, and that is based on a nun 100 years ago who started it, and now it's a giant organization. But they're very mission-oriented. It's a Catholic institution, and my friend is Catholic, and he went to Montreal, which is kind of a pilgrimage place where she began, the sister who started it. So we were talking about human nature. And he said one of the things that they do when they have their leadership team come in to kind of reflect on what it means to be a leader in a Catholic system of care is to think about suffering and to think about, like, for example, the Samaritan story. You know, when we hear the Samaritan story, a person is going along the road, they get beaten, they're in a ditch. People go by, and then a Samaritan, who seems to be good in the end, helps that person, gets them in right order, puts them in a place of rest, and promises to take care of them as needed. And what my friend says is, sometimes it's good just to think about from the ditch perspective, that we all have those ditch moments, that we all have those moments where we suffer, where we're in that ditch and it doesn't look good. That's the reality of life for most of us. Probably have experienced that. And if you haven't, thanks be to God for you. But I have. And most all of us have. So that's the reality in piece number two. We're created in the image of God. And we suffer. And that's a reality. And suffering comes from many things. It can come from war, conflict. We know how suffering happens. We've experienced it. Which leads to this text for the day. Because those who had worked all day, they maybe had a sense of, well, you know, we suffered a lot in this heat. And we just got, give us this day our daily bread. We just got our daily bread's worth. We just got a day's wage worth. And yet, these people, them, they worked an hour and got the same wage. What is the deal? Well, that's where our wonderful understanding of God's grace comes in. And that's where God's grace is often, these are the three words that I kind of this week have associated with God's grace, God's generosity towards us. Disruptive, offensive, and in the text it says envious. Are you envious because I'm generous? And I think all of us maybe have been envious at other people's generosity before, that they seem to, other people's abundance that they get, and why don't we get it? We're working just as hard. I'm working 40 hours a week. I'm working 50, 60, if you're still working. Why is that? Or I'm retired and yet they're retired. I mean, the us, them goes pretty quickly. And the enviousness happens. Enviousness happens instead of grace happens. That's our bumper sticker. Enviousness happens. But that's part of this nature, God's nature of generosity. What this text shows, though, is the following things. All good things come from God. The children verify that. So I'm glad they got that. I don't know if they were listening to the story, but they know humans better than we do. We forget as we get older what it really means to be human. You've got to be a kid. Jesus said that too. And it's not about work, this text. It's not about work. Because everybody in this text works. Everybody. Some work an hour. Some work a full day. So it's not about work, because everybody works. And it's not about being paid, because everyone gets paid in this story. And they get paid equally. And if you want to extend what the kingdom of God is in a real way, they get paid a living wage. And they probably get benefits, meaning health care. Maybe universal health care. And I'm not preaching, you know, progressive, social, whatever. I'm just saying, this text, if you're going to take the text seriously, and if you connect this with, in the Lord's Prayer in the Gospel of Matthew, give us this day our daily bread. Not give me my daily bread, God, please. Give it to me. But give us, that's us, all of us. So what kind of God would do this? Do we want to believe in that God? That God of generosity? Disruptive, offensive. This God whose grace reigns on all. Is that your God? I hope it's your God. But this parable, I think, challenges us. And that's what the kingdom of heaven does that Jesus preached about. It challenges us. It disrupts us. We are the first. We are a room full of firsts. We're the country, the first country in the world. We're a superpower. Or, you know, tied for second, depending on how you want to define what a superpower is these days. Maybe China's, you know, starting to think about it. But we're part of the first in the world. And so God's grace comes in and says, a daily wage for all. I'm going to rain on everybody. And it doesn't matter what you do or don't do. But I'm going to keep raining, and I'm going to keep saying, follow me. Follow me. I will give you what you need. And for some, you've known that since you were six, and you followed Jesus. And for some of you, it might be just today that you're listening to these words, and God's grace is starting to disrupt your life, and you're thinking to yourself, huh, I have a daily wage. Maybe I ought to give some of what the abundance I have away. Because the text right before this is a rich man comes. And we're all rich, by the way. Says to Jesus, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And do you know what he says? So what? Yep. Sell it all and give it to the poor. And Jesus doesn't say, sell it all and give it to the poor and you will have nothing and be destitute and you'll be one of them, the lost. And the little and the tiny. That's not what he says. Sell it all and give it to the poor, and I will continue to rain grace upon you. The hand of grace, forgiveness, mercy, love, peace, freedom. I will give you those things. Sell it all and give it away. God's mercy, God's grace, God's peace is for all of us. Be disrupted today. Come and have a meal and know that Jesus is with you. And then when you go out that door, change your lives. Go for it. Know that God's grace will reign. And if you don't happen to do that and come back next week and think, well, I'll try it next week, that's okay, because God's grace will reign upon you still. But give it a try. Embrace God's grace so that you can show the hand of God's grace to others. Amen.